O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, March 28th, 2016. We're going to jump right back into the message as begun yesterday, as preached this past Sunday, a few days ago at the Community Evangelical Free Church by Pastor Jason Schiffo. His message was titled Evidence or Awe, focusing on verses out of John chapter 21 and Luke chapter 5. And so I'll backstop the message just a few minutes to provide some context as Pastor Jason talks about the importance of standing in awe of God. And he had us all fill out little cards answering the question, what is the last thing that God did that you still can't get your head around? Write it down. And we did, and he'll reference that at the end of the message. If you missed a portion of yesterday or can't hear the entirety of today's message, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet.
John 21 and 11 says, so Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of, what does it say? Listen to the details of the Bible. Full of large fish. Did you ever catch that? I didn't catch that till I was really studying this, that the Bible says it was full of large fish. Not just fish, but large fish. 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Note that the catch is 153 fish. I mean, that's huge. How many of you fish in the room? How many of you have caught 153 fish in one day? And don't use that excuse like, well, you know, the limit's only 33. How many of you have caught 153 fish? Dennis, you don't count. You went to Canada where they jump in the boat. They're trying to get to the United States. It's a bad joke, I'm sorry. But they caught 153 fish. This is a miraculous event. In addition, did you catch that all the fish were large fish? They were all mountable. These were all the fish you would take home and you would put on your wall. These are all the fish you would tell your friends about. These are large fish. These are not small fish like you're catching out at Lake in the Woods. These are not these little tiny guys. These were large fish. How many of you have put smaller fish on the wall and told bigger stories? These were all large fish. And a catch of 153 fish is so great that the Bible says that it strains the net, but the net does not tear. I love how the Bible is careful to tell us all the details. The catch is big, the fish are big, but because the Bible knows that the net should have torn, but it doesn't, that it should not have held, but unlike the first fishing story, it does. It tells us these details. Why? So that we would stand in awe of God. So that we would say, this is impossible. Impossible. Because in the first story, the net breaks. In the first story, it says, in verse 6 of Luke chapter 5, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. In the first story, before the resurrection, the nets tore. And these nets here in John 21, they should have torn too. They should have torn also, but they didn't. And why didn't they? Well, some of you right now are going, gosh, I wonder what material they were made of. I wonder how they were made differently than the nets in Luke chapter 5. I wonder, did they come from a different part of the area where the workers were a little more crafty? There was a higher degree of craftsmanship. Maybe they bought this brand instead of that brand, saved a few dollars on Amazon when they really should have gone to the fishing store and gotten the right one. Or are you coming up with all kinds of reasons why? And we've all have done that as we've read the Bible. We all have done that as we're walking with Jesus, haven't we? Started searching and asking why and wanting to know every single little detail. If not the net, maybe you're sitting in your seat and you're going, 153 large fish. Because let's be honest, 153 large fish is one large catch of fish. Especially for me who doesn't go fishing. I think that's amazing. If I came back, you fishermen would be shamed by a non-fisherman. 153 fish is a huge haul. Listen, 153 is bigger than most communities in Jesus' day. 153 is bigger than 80% of our churches. 153 is bigger than ours. 153 is certainly enough to start a church. And by first century standards in Jesus' day, and in ours, a big church. Because a church isn't dictated by the size. But a lot of us love to count. Because anytime we get 153 people in one place to worship the risen Christ, that's huge. But we like to count. Because 153 gets us excited, doesn't it? Jake, if 153 kids showed up on Wednesday night, that'd be a real problem. But you'd be loving it. Jake would be tweeting that thing out, man. He'd be on Facebook. 153 kids, they can't fit in the picture. We'd be excited. Because we love big numbers. Give us more 153. 153 kids at youth group, 153 new attenders, 153 committed members, 153 people willing to serve sacrificially every week, 153 people to show up to the next Bible study, 153 people pursuing being disciples of Jesus, 153 people showing up on Friday night and praying at the All Church prayer meeting. How exciting! Except for the fact that very subtly that'll become the touchdown. 153. We need 153. Suddenly when we gather to pray, we pray 153. Suddenly when we make plans, 153. Everything becomes about 153. So we begin to ask all our questions around that number, 153. Why is there 153 large fish? How is there 153 large fish? Who are the 153? When will there be 153? What is the evidence that we will know that we're getting close to 153? Friends, I know you want me to answer those questions every single week. But I'm not going to venture to guess why there were 153 large fish in that net. You see, over the last 2,000 years since this historical event happened on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, people have come up with all kinds of reasons. And let me stress, all kinds. They got illustrative reasons, metaphorical reasons, numerical reasons, philosophical reasons for the great catch of 153 large fish. And I believe maybe there's a little bit of truth in every single one of them. But I do believe that something much bigger is hidden in plain sight. You see, most of us looking at this passage today are hoping to find all the evidence we think that we need to believe. And in the process, you are distracting yourself from the larger matter at hand. I cannot fathom, friends, how much time has been spent searching for more evidence where all is required of us is awe. Paul Tripp says in his book, he continues with the quotes, he says, "Only when the awe of God rules your heart will you be able to keep the pleasure of the material world in its proper place." Only when you're in awe of God will you realize what all this other stuff means. Because if not, you'll start to worship this stuff, and that's what the whole of the Bible is about, right? People continually worshiping all this stuff and not God because they're not in awe of God. They're in awe of what's happening around here because they're trying to figure all this out. And not simply standing with a content heart and saying, "Thank you, Lord. You're amazing." Suddenly the touchdown becomes this and not this. Because let me tell you what, for all of us, there comes a day when the only touchdown that matters is this. Right? The problem is that our relentless search for evidence, the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how, is that, friends, we have continually missed the obvious. We've emptied our awe for the impossible. We blind our eyes to see the work of God around us. Listen, there are some things we're just called to not know. We're called to not know how it works and why it works and what the purpose was. Instead, we're called to stand in awe of it. So, friends, it's wrong not to be in awe of what God created in situations and circumstances. But it's even more deeply wrong when you look at the created glory without remembering God. When you look out here and you don't remember Him. You know, 3 years ago we went on vacation to Orlando, Florida. I talk about this all the time, probably because it's the only vacation we've taken in a long time. We went on this vacation to Orlando, Florida, and on the way back we took the long way. And so we stopped off at Daytona Beach because Tasha thought it was important that we put our feet in the ocean. I didn't think it was important. I was like, really? I mean, like, it's just water. How many of you guys have ever said that? Good. I just want some help here, okay? And then you're going to learn from my lesson and you're going to be like, oh, darn it. So Tasha's like, you know, we got to put our feet in the ocean. That's important. I'm like, gosh, really? Okay, well, we'll do it. So we went there and like my wife suggested, because that makes everything better. And I put my feet in the ocean. And I just want to tell you this. I don't know how deep the Atlantic Ocean is. I don't know how many kinds of fish are in it. I don't know why it was formed, and I don't really know what its purpose is. Yet to this day, to her chagrin, I still remember standing ankle deep in the Atlantic Ocean, seeing ocean as far as I could look, feeling the water, it was cold, and hearing the rumbling waves, the power and the majesty of this thing. I was in awe of God in that moment. Praise God, my wife invited me to experience it. I was content to put my feet in a bathtub instead. Paul Tripp says, God created and intentionally loaded the world with amazing things to leave you astounded. The carefully air-conditioned termite mound in Africa, the tart crunchiness of an apple, the explosion of thunder, the beauty of an orchid, the interdependent systems of the human body, the inexhaustible pounding of the ocean waves, and 1,000 other created sights, sounds, touches, and tastes. God designed all to be awesome, and He intends for you daily to be amazed by them, but for Him. And what concerns me, friends, is that sometimes we're so excited or chase after so the who, the what, the where, the when, and the whys of the 153 large fish, whatever that might be in your life, that we miss what John, by the nature of his gospel, wants to see. That the Word became flesh and He dwelt amongst us, and that we have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And John bore witness to this, it says in his gospel. See, the fish are meant to see God's glory. They're meant to see the fish. They're meant to see God's glory. And let me tell you what, the disciples get it right. Because what is the disciples' reaction to when this happens? What is it? Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. So they cast the net on the right side of the boat, and all of a sudden, have you ever seen the reenactments that are in the movie? All of a sudden the boat goes, because the net is so full of fish, and they haul it in, and they can barely do it because there's so many fish. And you and I in that moment be going, look at all the fish. Do you see all the fish? They're large fish. Take them out. Let's measure them. Take my picture with the fish. Instagram it. Put it on Facebook. Hurry up, Twitter. Let all my friends know. Caught 153 large fish. Look at what it did to the boat. The boat can't even, hey, we got all these fish. Is that what the disciples say? It is the Lord. That's what they say. Nowhere in that moment do they go, look at the fish. Look at the Lord. It is the Lord. We almost need to check our hearts, because I think we would be so enamored by the fish, we would miss the Lord. And isn't it impressive or corrective? Let's go there better. Isn't it corrective that it was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and I believe loved him like crazy, that said to Peter, it is the Lord. And what is the weakness that we always talk about with Peter? We always talk about how impetuous he is. We always talk about how he kind of flew off the gun. You know what I mean? Peter kind of had this problem keeping himself in check. But listen to me, when the Lord's got your heart, you can be out of check a little bit if you're out of check for him. Because what does Peter do immediately? He throws on his clothes and he jumps in the water. By the way, they only had one set of clothes. So the reason Peter is, it says he's stripped down, is because when they were fishing and working, they would take off their clothes because they only had one set. They didn't want to mess those up. But Peter puts on his clothes. He's like, I don't care if they get wet. Dives into the water. So in love with Jesus. So amazed by Jesus. He's a fisherman. And he just left 153 fish in the boat to go be near the Lord. If you were a fisherman, you would be figuring out when you get those in there, how you're going to clean them, how you're going to mount them, how you're going to eat them, how you're going to freeze them, how you're going to share them. Peter, who's a fisherman, says, I don't even remember those. There's the Lord. You see what his awe causes him to do? His awe causes him to run out and to see the Lord, because the Lord changes our perspective. I love this little quip by Ray Stedman, who says, an alcoholic became a believer and was asked how he could possibly believe all the nonsense of the Bible about miracles. And the person said to this alcoholic, he said, you don't believe that Jesus changed water into wine, do you? And the alcoholic says, I sure do, because in our house, Jesus turned whiskey into a 70-inch TV. Meaning when I stopped drinking, I got a TV. And here we have the disciples. It is the Lord. When we read this story, we have to be careful, friends. Because we have a miraculous catch. We have 153 large fish. We have a net that resists breaking. We have a resurrected Jesus, not a ghost or some kind of apparition, but a real Jesus who sits now and He eats with His disciples. It's more than imagination. It's more than you can even imagine, friends. It's more than any evidence can explain. And it's something that is the product of awe. That's all it is. As you read this passage, you should be going, wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the assurance. Sometimes I think that our awe uncovers our lack of assurance. Faith is the assurance. I'm sure it's the Lord. That's what John says in that moment. It is the Lord. Didn't say it might be. It could be. Possibly it is. Looks a lot like Him. He says it is the Lord. He was sure because of his faith. Peter was so sure in his one set of clothes that he's got, he jumped out. As we read this passage today, I think many of us are tempted to say, how is this even possible? But the real question is, how can we stand on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with these disciples and not say it is the Lord? How can we go through our life and not say it is the Lord? Saying how good and how majestic, how impossible and immeasurable and worthy of praise is our God. I think this story reminds us that God is able and He's willing to continue to do miraculous things in plain sight from the right side of the boat. Moments, friends, that are meant to take our breath away, to create awe, to make us understand ourselves in relationship to what He's doing. Friends, whether it's the ocean or the Grand Canyon or an amazing work of art or the birth of a baby or playing with your kids in the yard or throwing the ball to the dog that you just got, whatever it is, all those things, the point of them is that you would be amazed and in awe, and that awe would be given to God, that you would see these things out here and you would go, Lord, I can't help but worship You. I can't help but worship You. You know, last week we studied that call of Jesus that said, come follow Me and I will make you. And I believe, like I said at the outset of this message, that we're going to struggle to follow Jesus faithfully into the places that He wants to take us if we're stuck trying to figure everything out. See, the answer to our faith is awe. As Christians, we should continually be going, wow, wow, wow. As Bruce prayed this morning about Gene, who I'm going to tell you the doctor said last week should not be with us here this week. Wow. The life that maybe we lived where we were so off the rails that we should be dead and now we're alive and resurrected in Christ. Wow. The fact that the sun rose this morning, because I don't know how that works. Wow. That should be our Christian life. Whoa. In the beginning of the service, I had you take this card and stick it in Luke 5. I want you to take it out and I want you to hold it up a little bit for me. And the reason that I had you write down the last thing that God did that you couldn't get your head around is because personally, friends, I think it's a great gift. I think you ought to take this card and stick it in your Bible and look at it often. Whenever you think that you got it all worked out, whenever you think you got it all figured out, whenever you think you know what God's going to do next and why you should do it next and how He should do it next, I think you should take this card out because I think the greatest gift that you've got is that you've got a reason why you don't understand who God is. But all you need to know about God is what you've already been told, and that is that He loves you more than you can possibly comprehend, and He's proven it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And if that's all you know, if that's all you ever know, then you know enough. And all the rest of it is meant to make you go, whoa. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You've hardwired our hearts to be in awe of You. And that fallen part of us wants to yet figure You all out every single day. Father, I repent of the ways that I will endlessly try and parse out what it is You've said to try and figure every little bit of it out as though I might have an answer to who You are. And yet, Father, at the end of every single study, I'm still left with more questions than I have answers. And Lord, I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that's the story of us all. is that we can't understand it all, but we can stand in awe and worship you. And so, Father, I pray that as we're following you, as you're making us into this new thing, as we studied last week, Father, that you would inspire in us to draw out of us the sense of awe, that we would just look at everything and be like, wow. And Father, I especially too pray that you would help us to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, wow, I want to love them like crazy. In the same way, Father, I pray that you would help us to look at our enemies and say, wow, I want to love them like crazy. I pray, Father, that our awe would lead us into the darkest places to show everybody the greatest light that we know, your Son, Jesus. We pray these things in his mighty name. And all God's people said, amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Love God, love others, love even our enemies. I believe that when we do, in fact, stand in awe of God, he'll equip us to do these very things. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jason Schiffel, preached this past Sunday, March 26th, at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And I played the message in its entirety yesterday and on today's edition of Mark and Friends, which incidentally is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Standing in awe. We're not called to know how the Lord works. We're called to know him. The challenge of faithfully following Jesus can only be properly understood as we stand in awe of God. Not trying to figure it all out, not missing the obvious, not called to know how it all works, but called to know him who works, and not to be caught up with numbering the fish, whatever that may be in your life, but called to worship him and stand in awe of him. Remember, Jesus knows what you're not, and what you need and can be in him, he will give you strength. I'll close out with a portion of Stand in Awe by the Franklins, trusting that this message maybe brought some conviction, hopefully hope, and a realization that God loves you so that you can love God, love others, and even love your enemies. Stand in awe. The Lord is worthy of our worship. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
I long to leave this world behind me with its hatred, pain, and fear. When I'm reminded of my journey, that I'm just a pilgrim here, then my eyes begin that's when I think about eternity, in a place I've never seen. I wonder how it's gonna be, and I'm caught up in a dream, where I find myself at Jesus' feet. I stand in awe. Finally takes us home from every